Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Coach has given the best effort to get in the chair, and now he's in the chair, and now he joins us.
Coach, whoever did that, put that chair there for you, I'll have him fired for you,
yeah.
Okay, sir?
Yeah. Take care of. I tell you what, you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
I tell you what, it must have been a Duke guy that set this up.
I love it.
Still scrapping. I love it.
So he's a fantastic young man, but Reed Shepherd, the men's freshman basketball player of the year. So he's at least he's a Kentucky kid. I don't know if that's
no,
better
I
for
you. No, I tell
you
what, I loved watching him play, but I'm so old. I remember when his dad played too. But Reed, I was trying to remember who it was. I think it was Mississippi State. He made the last shot right at the buzzer this year. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah,
you
he's
know,
a,
I
he's
watch
a
lot of
man.
Games, you know. I don't watch cricket or anything like that. I watch basketball.
Coach, I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh,
okay.
Kerry, he's our guest.
I appreciate
that's all right.
You. I appreciate you.
That means we beat his butt sometimes.
Well, not really. You made a decision to leave Kansas to go to North Carolina, which set off a chain of events. I went to Illinois. There was a man that was there that decided to go to Kansas and leaving us. Now, we got Bruce Weber, and we went to a national championship. But losing Bill Self, to me, was a tough, tough thing for my Illini. I know it was a great move for you, great move for him, but that's my bone to pick because Bill Self left me, and he left us.
The man just sat down,
Kerry. You should feel that way. Yes. I'm serious. I really do because Bill's such a great coach. I tell you the funniest thing about that game that I've ever seen. I'm at the Asheville, North Carolina airport, and which is where I grew up, and the guy said, Coach, I want to show you a picture. And I said, okay. And it showed me his tag. And it said, hate UNC. Illinois tag.
Always. I was at the game. I will never forget
it. Might have been Kerry's car.
It might have been. You probably got a picture of me.
Well, you know, this is something that I really almost screwed it up. We win the game. And on Sunday between games, Sean May, our great player, that was the most outstanding player of the Final Four, press asked him a question. He said, my dream is to be the first player to hug Coach Williams on Monday night after he wins his first national championship. Mm. And it really hit me emotionally.
Wow.
It really did. And at the end of the game, they shoot the ball. We're ahead 75-70, and they shoot the ball, miss it, and Sean gets a rebound. I look up, and there's 2 seconds. I look back, and Sean still got it. And I look back up, and it's 1, and it's 0.
Yeah.
And C.B. McGrath, one of my assistants, grabbed me and hugged me. And then all of a sudden, sweaty, smelly, Sean May just wrapped me up. And I got so emotional and into the moment. And then all of a sudden, and people laughed at it later, which I'm fine with. But then I realized what I'd done, and I ran off the court because I didn't shake hands with Bruce Weber.
Gotcha.
And Bruce is really a good guy. Yeah. And I really, you know, I was 55 then. I'm 73 now. I went taking off as fast as I could go and got him before he got out of the arena and back into the locker room area. He said, Roy, don't worry about that. Enjoy the moment. I said, no. I said, I've been on that other bench too.
Sure.
But that was a moment. And everybody asked me what I was doing. I said, I went to shake hands with Bruce because Bruce is one of the good guys.
Yes, he is.
Coach, you talk about your players and getting a hug from your player and whatnot. As a coach at the collegiate level, especially when you were coaching, it's more than just being a coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are a father figure or at least a relative. Like, you're part of the family for them. Two-part question. One, how hard is it to see certain players move on, whether it's into the business world or the NBA, whatever it is? And then how often do you stay in touch with players?
Oh, that part is not a problem. I mean, it's something that I love to see them go on and mature and do those kind of things. On Father's Day, I get 50, 75 text messages, Happy Father's Day, and those kind of things is what I coached for. When I was in the ninth grade in high school, my high school varsity coach told some of my buddies after the freshman year on the JV team that he thought I could be the best point guard he'd ever coached. And you have no idea what that meant to me personally. And it made me work even harder. And in my sophomore year, I told him I want to be a basketball coach. And he comes to me and says, I saw that you didn't sign up for the spring SAT. And I said, Coach, nobody in my family's ever gone to college. Nobody. My dad quit school in the sixth grade. My mom quit school in the 10th grade. And Mom had 10 brothers and sisters. My dad had 13. I was the only one of my generation to ever go to college. Wow. And he said, well, you know, you can't coach unless you go to college. And so that's the reason I started thinking about going to college. So
wow.
My high school coach and what I wanted to be was find somebody that would feel about me like I do and still do, my 84-year-old high school coach.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
It's a neat deal. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
No. I still talked to him. I talked to him last night.
Wow.
I talked to him once or twice a week.
Wow.
My wife doesn't really like him because he's the first person to ever get me on the golf course. He's the person that got me into coaching and is the first person to teach me how to shoot crap. She said, he's 0 for 3 as far as my wife
is concerned. Oh, no. Legendary coach Roy awesome. Williams joining us right now in the Fast Lane. I got to ask you this, Coach. So I love watching documentaries about coaches. Mm-hmm. To learn about how they adapted and how they changed mm-hmm. throughout your career. And basketball, it's played on a court. It's played. There's only so much you can do. Mm-hmm. But throughout your career, how much did you change your philosophy when it came to the X's and O's? Did you think about changing?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Because when I played, and I was a really good high school player in a small town. You know, I was that little tiny little fish in a big pond. And I played on the freshman team at North Carolina. I was good enough to do that, but I wasn't good enough to keep playing. But I loved to play fast. I loved to run because I had more speed than most of the guys, and I wanted to outrun them. And so we ran, I think, better than anybody. We, in 33 years as a head coach, and I don't know if this is true, but some guy figured it out that we averaged more points in my 33 years than anybody else did in that time period.
Wow.
So I loved the fast pace. I love man-to-man defense because – if your man scores, by gosh, you screwed it up.
You know, I know who to blame.
You know, so this is your guy. He's got 38 on you. You know, if you didn't get 39, you're not playing tomorrow. You know. So things like that, I didn't change a lot. But,
sure.
You know, the game changed dramatically when I was an assistant, when they added the three-point line and the shot clock. And I remember Coach Smith calling me my like second or third year at Kansas. He said, we have a 45-second shot clock. And he said, you don't ever go to four corners. And I said, no, Coach. I said, number one, I don't have Phil Ford. And Phil Ford was what four corners was made for.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, if I've got you six with 3 minutes to play, I want to beat your butt 12.
Mm.
And if Coach had you six, he wanted to make sure he won, whether it's one, two, three, four, or five.
Right. Yeah.
And but I didn't change a lot. If I played zone and walked the ball up court, I always told my buddies to – look into it, because that wasn't me on the bench. It was an imposter, and I had seen something I shouldn't have seen, and I'm in a federal witness protection program somewhere. you had to change some. I mean, when I first started coaching at the college level, the screen on the ball was, you know, one or two times a game. Now there's 27 in every possession kind of thing. So those kind of things. But nothing changed the game like the three-point line and the clock, and I love that.
Coach, what have you seen in the transition of the game? I think, you know, when you were coaching and when I was a young man, you knew the players in the college basketball mm-hmm. game because they were there two, three, four years. It's changed a lot now where players are one and done or maybe they're transferring to different schools. What are your thoughts on how the college game is right now?
You know, I'm old school. You know, I like to make a commitment. If I tell you I'm going to do something, you can count on it.
Right.
And a commitment is commitment. It's not – some of it started in football. 10 years ago, 15, guys would make commitments. They didn't make a commitment. They made a reservation for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end, who made together offered you the best dinner? But it's a commitment is not there. I don't have a problem with the transfer portal, but if you're going to make a transfer, then you should pay some price. Mm-hmm. Sit out of here, you know, because you made a commitment.
Right.
Okay. And the name, image, and likeness, I like some things about name, image, and likeness, but instead of using your name and your image and your likeness to do an ad for a car dealership or get a hamburger named in your name kind of thing, now it's just how much money they can collect to promise you before you get there.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the kind of thing is to me, if you guys have children, when you teach them how to ride a bike, you walk by them and hang on to the bike, and then you put training wheels on, and then you tell them to stay in the driveway,
mm-hmm.
and then you release them. And we went from 55 and a 55 to 150 and a 55.
Yeah.
There was no incremental steps. And so that part has been hard. And that old saying, you can't get that toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah.
Who knows what it's going to be down the road?
So, Coach, that's, you know, the NIL is something, and the transfer portal, that's, you know, off the court.
Yeah.
When you sit back right now and you watch the collegiate game, and you're watching several games, I'm sure you're obviously involved heavily, you know, what has changed from an on-court perspective?
One thing hadn't changed at all. When that referee steps in that center circle to throw the ball up, it's Duke against North Carolina, it's Kansas against Missouri, and by God, you'd better play.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that part I still love. I think I could do that without any problem. The NBA is the big bully. It's all that money, and that's, you know, you watch a TV program. I've never seen this in my life till three. Cribs.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a little place where you put a baby. I didn't know it's showing all these houses. But that's what the kids and the parents.
That's what they're drawn to.
That's what they start thinking about.
Well, Coach, we're getting some side eyes here. Normally we don't mind to scuffle, but this is a nice event. So
let me give you one thing.
Yes, please.
So I always loved recruiting. I tried to recruit as hard as I possibly could. I'd tell kids, I'm going to see you more than anybody else. So this is a Missouri story. So I come out here. A friend of mine was played at North Carolina. I play golf at Old Warson. Then we go to dinner, and they stay too late. So I'm driving to Poplar Bluff. I'm meeting with Tyler Hansbrough and his mom and dad at 7 a.m. the next morning. And it's pretty late, and I'm going a little fast. And I go over this rise, and the guy's coming that direction. And I just pull over to the side, and he comes flying back over the hill, slams on his brakes, highway patrol. Comes up to me, and he says, you're going awfully fast. And I said, yes, sir, I have nothing to say. I apologize. I'm trying to get to Poplar Bluff. I didn't want to get sleepy, so I'm trying to get there faster. I said, I have no excuse. He goes back and comes back, and he hands me a ticket. He said, you shouldn't have beaten my Missouri Tigers. And so my entire career as a coach, I advise my players, when your head is in the tiger's mouth, don't pull the trigger. But it made me mad when he said that. And I said, let me tell you something. We get this boy in Poplar Bluff, we're going to beat your blank. And so I pull out. I go 500 yards, and the blue light's on me again. I thought, you dummy, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't. You're the dumbest individual in the world. I pull over. He pulls behind me. He gets out, and he comes walking up, and he hands me my rental car agreement. He had forgotten to give it
back. Oh, man.
It scared me worse than any time in history.
Guys, Coach, absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much. Guys.
Enjoy your night.
That's
legendary Coach Roy Williams
I'll reach
here.
Reach over so I don't fall out of the chair.
I'm going to hold this chair, right? I don't want the fast lane to be responsible for hurting.
Come on, Marcy, help out here, would you?
incredible stuff. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you so much, Coach
Roy Williams here in the fast lane on 101 ESPN.